Breen O'Neill trying to take the challenge forward to Kerry, giving it to Turbot, getting the ball back. He's on the 20. He's hoping this one will curl, and it curls from right to left all the way over the bar, and it's back to a 3-point game. Breen O'Neill onto that right foot, hoops it high up into the air. The goalkeeper comes out off his line to grab the ball. He's lost it. He's spilled it. Opportunity for Armagh, and they've got the goal. There's a lifeline in the game. The Kerry goalkeeper Shane Ryan will have nightmares, and Barry McCambridge has finished the ball to the net. Goal scorer in the quarter final, now goal scorer in the semi final. The ball in behind for Armagh. They're going to shoot from the 13 metre line, and the roar from the Armagh fans will tell you they've gone two up in this All Ireland semi final. Conor Turbot, Barry McCambridge inside. Still Turbot goes, a fisted point, but still the deal. Armagh are surely heading for a place in the All Ireland football final. Connolly on his own 45, down the far wing they work the ball, and it's all over. Armagh are through to the All-Ireland football final, a famous victory over the Munster champions Kerry.
Tierney gives the hand pass into Killian McDade. McDade booting it forward towards the danger men up front. Finnerty has the ball right now, getting away from the challenge, getting onto his left foot from the 20, striking the ball over the bar. It's level, it's opened up nicely after 15 minutes. Galway coming, giving it over to John Maher. He's bottled up by Donegal defenders, but he gets the ball back behind him. Ooh. It's slung in all the way. Top of the semi-circle, Silk landing the ball in towards the post, and Galway have gone two up. There's an eruption of noise all around Croke Park. The supporters of the Tribesmen feel they could well be heading for the All-Ireland final. The goal mouth is packed as it lands inside. It's landed in Galway hands. It was Liam Silk in front of his own goal, and now the final whistle sounds, and Galway are into the All-Ireland final.
Hello again, welcome to the programme. Hope the past week was good for you. What a hurling final we had. And this time around, it's a huge weekend of football with a full house for the All-Ireland Senior Final on Sunday. It's also semi-final time in the All-Ireland Camogie Championship, so let's get straight into it. Earlier in the week, I spoke to Galway legend and current Cork coach Kevin Walsh and former Armagh player Stevie McDonald at an Allianz GAA event. Now, Kevin focused more on the tactics of Sunday's game, but first up, Stevie McDonald addressed the club vote that Kieran McGeaney faced just last winter.
You don't know what way clubs are thinking. That's the concern. I don't think it ever should have gone to a vote. I think, yes, it's taken a wee bit longer than expected, but Kieran always had a vision to get us to a certain level, and he has us there now, and he has us there with a remarkably good side and a very strong bench as well. So, yes, there was concerns because, as I said, you know, where are the clubs going to go with this? And thankfully, you know, the vote for yes far outweighed the vote for no.
You'd love from the IE to say it would turn the shoot out, but I don't see it, to be honest. But look, we'll see. But I think, you know, you have to look at what's going to happen to the kickouts, and that a lot will fall from that. Like, do Armagh fall off the kickout? Galway have fallen off the kickout in all the last games, you know, Donegal, all that kind of stuff. So Donegal pushed forward in a man-to-man the first half, got no joy out of, I suppose, trying to make errors. So will Armagh look at that and say, maybe Croke Park is so big here, Do we go on a zonal press, which makes it more difficult, or do we drop off? Because a man-to-man might be difficult just to stop getting the kick out off. And if you do, on a man-to-man, you're open at the back. So if you were to ask me to bet on it, I'd say both teams would drop off, in particular for starting off to feel their way in with their defensive structures and then try to hit in the counter. So I think that's why the turnovers, if that happens, silly turnovers are going to be massively crucial here.
Yeah, so that was Kevin Walsh about the prospects of an open game on Sunday, and then Stephen McDonald on the club vote that Kieran McGeaney faced to hold on to his job as our manager, and that was at an Allianz GAA event earlier this week. Now, joining me to get stuck into Sunday's final are our regular contributors, Aaron Kernan and Barry Cullinan, both with huge service given to Armagh and Galway, respectively. Aaron, first of all to you, how are you? What's the mood in Armagh like?
The mood's brilliant, to be fair. Euphoria of beating Kerry. It was a brilliant few days. Automatically then switched to scramble for tickets. But just all in all, this doesn't happen too often in our county. It's 20-odd year cycles that it comes around. So there's been a brilliant buzz around. And I suppose just personally speaking, it is very exciting, but in equal measures, there is an awful lot of nervousness there because, like I said, this comes in 20-year cycles for ourselves. So you sort of know that it's a wonderful opportunity that is right in front of the boys' faces here. And we're just hoping that they do what it takes to go and grasp it.
Barry, you guys didn't have to wait 20 years. You were there just a couple of years ago. Will that experience of the 2022 final, would that stand to Galway in your opinion?
Yeah, I suppose it's an unfortunate experience in terms of it was a losing one. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be at the hurling final last Sunday. And when you see in a stark reality the difference between winning and losing and the outpouring of emotion from both players and supporters, you can see that Galway will draw on that hurt that they had from 2 years ago. And they will go into the game knowing that if they play to the full of their potential, then they have every single chance of winning the game, which probably 2 years ago against Kerry, maybe we were underdogs. And I suppose the 2 weeks lead up to that were very preoccupied with how are we going to manage David Clifford, Paddy Clifford, Shawnee O'Shea. And I'd imagine that occupied a good bit of the Galway management mind as well. But this is different, and no disrespect to any Armagh players, but I think Galway can very much focus on themselves and how they're going to get their game right in these 2 weeks, and I think that's only going to stand to them.
In terms of Galway then, Barry, I was up in Salt Hill interviewing the chaps a couple of weeks ago. Sean Kelly's injury worries, you know, I suppose the point I'm trying to make here, if players like Sean Kelly are held in reserve, what strength you have from both benches this time around. So if you're looking for strength and depth to try and solve this dilemma for you, it won't be easy to find in this game because they're both equally stacked. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, well, I think one of the key parameters of Armagh's success so far this year has been what they've done off the bench. And just interesting, like I was looking at both teams from the 2022 quarterfinal, and I could be a player or two out here in this, but I think in terms of additions to the Galway team, there's four additions where, yeah, I think only four players started for Armagh. I think Kieran McGeaney has brought in about 11 players. So that's a huge compliment to him, probably particularly on the back that they haven't had massive, extraordinary underage success. He has found these players and developed them, but it also means that he has developed strength and depth in his panel and on the bench, and we see particularly the impact it had against Armagh. The one worry I'd have for Galway is if Sean Kelly isn't 100% fit and they start him on the bench, they bring him on, he breaks down, then that's two subs and going down the stretch where we're going to need legs to match the Charlie O'Byrnes and the Soupy Campbells. If we're down two subs because Sean Kelly has been injured, that's a huge loss to us. And that's why I would have a slight feeling if Sean is in any ways ready to play, I think they might be better off starting him. Kyle Sweeney, another guy who's played a huge amount of football for us this year, he didn't look like he was going to feature against Donegal, even though he's in the 26. And Keane Hernan has a broken wrist, and he has played a lot of football for us this year. So I think if we're looking for slight advantages for Armagh, I think the impact off the bench is probably where they'll be looking to see this one home.
Okay, Aaron, we're kind of working backwards in terms of strength of the bench back into the actual game itself, but where does the advantage lie in your opinion? So McGrain drops out, Conor Macken comes in for Sunday. Soupy Campbell will probably feel unlucky not to start the game, but he seems to have kind of flourish in this impact sub role. So what do you make of the dynamic coming off the bench in both squads?
The big one for us is I knew in terms of actual out and out height from the Galway midfield and particularly wing half forwards, that was an area that was a bit of a concern for me. So clearly, I wasn't sure that Geezer would drop Peter McGrain because he is very loyal to his players, but I think he's went horses for courses here and he's put a bigger man in terms of Conor Macken to be able to deal with that aerial threat from the long kick out to Gleeson.
Because Aaron, Galway seemed to have three pods around the middle of the field for those kickouts. Is that why Kieran was reacted in this way, do you think?
It is, because kickers are so important, they're so well versed and rehearsed that you can manipulate a situation and you can lead our big players like Ryan O'Neill, Ben Creeley and Niall Grimley to two separate areas where they have to chase because the player looks like he's on. And then Galway were brilliant at isolating Tierney, Maher and those boys. And that's where they were getting, particularly the first half against Donegal, as Kevin Walsh had mentioned there, where they were able to go long. But it's not, they're just not going long. They're going long with a plan. And that was someone off the midfielder or the half-forward shoulder, an early ball in the Finnerty. The ball was over the bar. And it was old-style football. It was traditional-looking football. But that was them playing to their strengths. Now, Armagh are obviously clearly going to try and counteract that there by putting a bigger man in there now in terms of Conor Macken. So I think ultimately Armagh won't press as high. I think they will drop off. And I think in doing that, Galway aren't that overly keen at aggressive pressing either. And they'll like to get back into a defensive shape, maybe even a wee bit quicker than what Armagh do. So that's why I think this is going to go to 40, 45 minutes with only a pint in it. Yeah. And then both teams are going to unload the bench. And I suppose maybe that was one thing that was maybe flagged, that maybe Armagh were just a wee bit slower in terms of making their subs in the Ulster final. Whenever we went 4 points up, McGuinness had rolled the bench and they got a jump on us in terms of fresh legs and bringing it back to level pegging, where I think since then Geezer and his backroom team have got their substitutions spot on, and we've got huge impetus and huge energy from them all coming off the bench. And you just mentioned Soupy. For me, he's up there with one of the best footballers in the country, one of the top footballers in Armagh. I would generally always start him, but Geezer has this role for him and he's making an unbelievable impact. And it used to be he was coming on in the second half. Now he comes on at half time and he's so hard to handle, but he knows he has 35 minutes to do an hour's work or 70 minutes work, and that's what makes him so hard to deal with.
He's definitely doing it. I'm just going to throw this to both of you then. Matchups for you, Barry, first of all. You talk about the obvious strengths at both ends of the attacking, I suppose, spectrums for Galway and Armagh. But to me, I look at players like Dylan McHugh and I look deeper in Armagh as well. Where do the key matchups lie, in your opinion, Barry, for this game?
Yeah, well, I think Johnny McGrath would probably pick up there for that's kind of, yeah, probably be one of the matchups that will decide the game. I think if you're talking about Soupy Campbell, and just I'll touch on him slightly, I think you said he's flourishing in this role as an impact sub and getting scores, but he also flourished in that quarter final. He got 3 points from play and caused Galway all sorts of problems. I think Geezer touched on it. He was dropped for the Galway game in the groups this year, and Geezer touched on it afterwards and just felt it was a physicality aspect of it. So I think the matchup that Galway will have coming on to that is they'll probably stick Dylan McHugh on him when he comes in. So I think they're two big, big matchups. I would expect they'll have a couple of different plans for Rian O'Neill. If he's out around the middle of the pitch, I think John Maher will do a job on him in terms similar what he tried to do to Brian Fenton. And if he goes inside, I think Sean Fitzgerald will be the one to match him. So I think they'll have loads of different matchups. They'll have matchups for Jarley O'Byrnes, for, as I said, Soupy Campbell. So I think in terms of that, Galway will have their homework done. Now, I will say, I felt last week or 2 weeks ago against Donegal, the decision to put Liam Silk on Oisin Gallen and not have Johnny McGrath on him was slightly strange.
Yeah, the change.
And I think we will have learned. Yeah, and I think we will have learned from that. And realise that maybe Liam Silk is better if we just sit him at six and leave the Johnny McGrath, Sean Fitzgerald and Jack Lins to go with the matchups.
Yeah, because they reacted to that, but maybe 25 minutes have passed maybe, Barry, and if you leave it that long in Sunday's final, it could be total jeopardy there, really. Aaron, the matchups, like the coaches always say, it's up to the players once they go out in the field, but that's not really the case at all. Both sidelines will have to have their clipboards out, and I suppose you'll have to be watching every move that the opposition makes as well. What fascinates you from that point of view?
Yeah, well, the big one for us in terms of air matchups, I see Paddy Burns going across onto Rob Finnerty. I think Aaron McKay is our biggest player in terms of playing with out-and-out physicality, and he'll be the one who'd have to go on Damien Comer, and then that'll leave Barry McCambridge starting in the number two corner on Shane Walsh. I think the big thing about, like, clearly it's an All-Ireland final and you're talking about some of the best footballers in Ireland on the biggest stage, but I think particularly these two teams now and how they play it, they don't concede any goals, and they don't do that for a reason, because they're so good at clogging up the central channels, but not letting anyone break through the D, get easy shots off the D. So what you have, I suppose, this weekend is that in order to enable both teams to make that plan work. You can't follow everyone in man-to-man situations. You have to trust your teammate. You're keeping an eye on Rian O'Neill, for instance. If he starts at 11 and Liam Silk has to keep an eye on him. But he also has to be chatting to the boys on either wing because they like to cover that D area between themselves, Mulcairn and Dylan McHugh.
Yeah.
And then whenever he comes really dangerous, he might have to take a dart out and get to him. But he can't follow him everywhere in a man-marking role because in doing that, he opens up channels of space that Armagh can hit nice wee dink balls into the full forwards and if the runner's coming off them. So I think it'd literally be the three full backs, three full forwards, both end of the field, absolute man-marking jobs. Other than that there, I thought Armagh were very good and very fluid in passing players on, even key players, passing them on where you weren't fixated. Paddy Clifford's running right out to the wing. Joe McElroy didn't run with him every time. He tracked the runner coming through the middle and communicated that someone else picked up Paddy Clifford because Paddy Clifford wasn't the most dangerous player at that stage. So it's the fine balance in doing your job and blotting out that man, but also not leaving us wide open where you can be punished defensively. And I think that is why both teams are in the All-Ireland final. And that, to me, is why both teams are the best defensive setups in the country because they know how to implement that properly. They have huge football smarts and then they're technically actually really good at tackling in one-on-one and swarm situations.
Yeah, I hear you, Aaron. So eyes wide open for the periphery and also keeping that central channel clogged up. And that's
exactly.
Both sides are able to do that. Right, I want to throw a final one at you both. Barry, to you first of all. I'm not so sure about asking you about the prospect of an open game because I do feel it'll be counter-attacking, but I'd like your opinion on that. Secondly, where can Galway win this game? And I'll ask you the same thing in a second, Aaron, but for now, you first, Barry.
Yeah, I think both managers, like, they're so confident in themselves and their own abilities, both as players, and rightly so, and as managers. They'll be confident enough to have an open end-to-end game, but to really go and have a go at this, because the last thing they want is a tight, intricate game, you know, 14 points to 13 and to come out on the wrong side of it by a point and have regrets that way. So I think similar to 22, I think this could be a good game. I think it could be open and you've good forwards, you've good guys coming off the bench on both panels. So if I was a neutral going to this game, I think it'd be really positive. How Galway can win, go back to matchups. I think first of all, Shane Walsh would probably be happy enough that James Morgan won't be coming his way because he had a terrible time with him a couple of years ago, as a lot of people had. And I think when you go to matchups, the team that runs out of players first is generally the team that loses. And I think when Kieran McGeaney sits down to do his matchups, he'll have, you know, people pinpointed for some of our top players. But I think he kind of runs out of options at 2, 3, 4. And I think that's where Galway could exploit it. And I think we might have the better players down the pecking order.
Your turn, Aaron, to round us up.
For me, I do think that both teams will play it safe, but it's getting that burst and that surge. And we got that surge against Kerry with a bit of luck and a bit of fortune, and we went after it. And that was the difference between us winning the game. And the same thing against Galway in Markovitz Park this year. They were the better team, clearly the better team. But as soon as we forced that turnover, Turbitt gets the goal, the dynamic changes completely. So where I see Armagh winning is, I believe that they will stick in the game. They'll be hanging in there. But Galway have been the better team in 22. For large parts, the better team last year in Carrick and Shannon. And then this year, clearly in Markovitz Park, the best team. But they couldn't put Armagh away at any stage. And that's the bit that Armagh really need to take belief in and really need to go after. There will be a surge where they get a purple patch where it's maybe 2-3 scores, one after another. And that's the stage that they need to make it really count. And when they do, have they taken enough out of winning that tight game at Kerry that they can now see out what is the biggest game of all time for them, where they haven't been able to do it in so many big games? So you're putting an awful lot in taking genuine confidence from knocking out a big gun in a tight game like they did against Kerry. And that's the bit that I think they have to go after. This Galway team, no, you can't put this Armagh team away.
Aaron Kernan, Barry Cullinan, thanks so much for your time. Yeah, two great guys there now. It's also a busy time in the Camogie Championship with the All-Ireland semi-finals taking place this weekend. We've got a double header in Nolan Park tomorrow. Galway versus Tipperary, that's at 3 o'clock. And Cork versus Dublin, that's at 1:15. And Aoife Sheehan joins us now. Cork and Dublin. Dublin had a fine win last time out against Kilkenny. Their reward, Aoife, is a lovely game with Cork in Nolan Park at 1:15. It's a tough test again for them, isn't it?
It is a tough test, Damien, and I suppose for Cork, look, they're probably the favourites for the All-Ireland at the moment, you'd have to say. They've come through, they're Munster champions, I suppose, untested really in the group stages, you know, getting big wins, I suppose, even against Galway, Clare, Dublin, Wexford, and down. And that game against Dublin, the earlier group, you know, Dublin didn't score from play that day. Now, I think we'll see a different Dublin side. I think Dublin kind of targeted the Clare and Wexford games within the group and down, I suppose, within the group stages. And I think we will see a different team out for them this weekend. But, you know, you'd have to say, I suppose, it's looking like Cork are going in as favourites, definitely. And just their half-back line of like Hannah Looney, Laura Tracy, Laura Hayes, and the two midfield of Aisling Thompson and Aoife Healy, they're just very hard to penetrate. And Dublin, they will have a game plan. You know, they played plus two, I suppose, at the back in the quarterfinal against Kilkenny. And with that, you know, that might make it difficult for Cork to, you know, to come across scores too easily. But I suppose, look, it does look like Cork are, I suppose, are overwhelming favourites in that game.
Yeah, it certainly Dublin's fitness as well, Aoife, really stood out against Kilkenny. But I think it's dangerous maybe to look too far ahead, because we saw what happened Dublin in the ladies' football. But Cork just looked to be on another level to most teams this year. Is that hard trying to maintain that level of performance every game?
It is, I suppose. And for Cork, look, they got the win last year in the All-Ireland final, you know, over Waterford. And before that, you'd have to go back to 2018, which in Cork Camogie terms is a long wait, I suppose, for All-Ireland, you know, just with their vast size and playing numbers and everything else that they have in Cork. But I think, it's not to be discounting Dublin, because they were very impressive. Like, I was so impressed with Claire Gannon at halfback for Dublin. Obviously, Aisling Maher got all the headlines, but just their work rate out from the back was superb. They'll have Aisling O'Neill back as well this week, I suppose. You know, she only had a 20-minute appearance, but she got 2 points that day coming off the bench. And they're tough. Like, they're tough, they're physical. They'll disrupt, I suppose, the Cork play and how they would, you know, it won't be all Cork's way. They'll try just to impose their own game plan on it. And look, they've a great setup as well in Dublin. And they have the quality, but it's, you just wonder, is it a step too far maybe on Saturday?
What about the main game then, in terms of main, I mean in time, 3 o'clock, it's the main thoroughfare, Galway versus Tipperary. How do you see this game? It's very, very close to call, I think, but how do you see it, Aoife?
It's very close. Like, there's a puck for ball between them even in the league final. But you'd have to say, Damien, and I know you're a proud Tip fan, that, you know, Tipperary have been very good this year. They have a great panel, which is key for them. They're not relying on, you know, any one player, and I suppose one of the stand-up players for them obviously is Karen Kennedy. But just the way they can interchange their players, you know, we've seen a lot of them move, so I suppose even just Karen Kennedy and Caoimhe Maher moving, you know, between centre forward and centre back. You know, Clodagh McIntyre, we've seen her play between forward and defence. They have great options. Looking at Galway, I think Galway have just been a little bit mixed for me. I suppose their last even outing against Galway in the league or in the group stages of the championship, you know, or against Cork, sorry, they got a nice trimming against Cork that day. I suppose they haven't been too settled, and I suppose only for like the likes of Aoife Donoghue just pulled them over the line really against Waterford. She was immense, you know, especially in that second half. She got the goal and just you know, really brought the game to Waterford that day. It's very difficult to call, but I don't know. I just have a feeling for Tip in this one. I think if they can cope with the layoff, if they can get their matchup right, you know, have someone for the likes of Aoife Donoghue, you know, and even just to mind the likes of Carrie Dolan maybe as well up front, that, you know, I'd give them a great chance and a shout of reaching, I suppose, their first All-Ireland final is it 18 years?
Aoife Sheehan there. Now, finally, to round off a hectic show with the start of the Olympics, GAA historian and GAA History Committee Secretary Keane Murphy joins us now to discuss the links between the GAA and the Games which start. And Keane, there are a few links as well we're talking about.
There's a huge amount of links, Damien. I suppose the clue is in the name. We're the Gaelic Athletic Association, and we ran athletics in a large part of the country from 1884 up until 1922. And many of the members were setting world records, but also competing in the Olympics, albeit under the flags of other nations. But also, that first team that goes to Paris in 1924, there's three massive GAA links to it. The Games the Irish participation happened because of a man called JJ Keane from Limerick, who's the godfather of Irish athletics, and was a member of the Central Council, GA, won a couple of football medals for Dublin, and then involved on the track. You have Larry Stanley from Kildare, wins an All-Ireland football title with Kildare in 1919, wins another one with Dublin in 1924, and you have Sean Lavin from Mayo, known as the Baller Lavin, the man who invented the solo run, had never been seen before until he did it in Croke Park in 1923 in an All-Ireland final. So they're just the first ever Irish team Ireland in the Olympics. There were three massive GA links that we're enormously proud of, and it's worth remembering and celebrating. But there's several people in the years before then who were involved in winning medals, gold medals, and had GA links.
And Keen, we'll have you on next week to talk about a couple of interesting history angles regarding the GEA. But just for now, finally, will you just give us an insight into the invitation that the GEA has received to the Olympic Village next week? What does that involve? And that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so hurling was a demonstration sport in the Olympics of 1904, so it's not the first time. But 10 countries have been asked to put on displays in the fan zones of Indigenous sports. Sport Ireland have very kindly asked the GAA to represent Ireland at two of those next week. One day there'll be a three-hour session using the Paris Gaels Club, which is a hugely progressive, really exciting club representing Paris and Europe. So their members will put on a three-hour display for local school children, and then the following day, members of the public will be able to try out hurling football and Camogie ladies football. It's part of a plan, an ongoing plan we have to get increased international recognition for Gaelic games. It really helps. Gaelic games have been played in 52 countries, 500 clubs in 52 countries. To improve access to facilities, you need the biggest recognition. That means Olympic recognition and UNESCO. So it's part of our plan to do that, to keep growing World GAA.
Keane's fascinating stuff. We're out of time, but will you join us again next week and we'll explore a few more angles?
I'd love to, Damien. Thank you.
That's Keane Murphy there, GEA History Committee Secretary. That's it for now, folks. What a busy, busy show. Hope you enjoyed the Camogie semi-finals. Hope you enjoyed the All-Ireland Senior Football Final. Huge thanks to our producer, John Farrell. Dave Gibson was on sound. From myself, Damien Lawler, take care and we'll speak soon again, please God.